Acts chapter number 13. We had kind of touched the surface of the message in the men's prayer meeting the other day. But I want to look at some things by the grace of God today in Acts 13. And we'll go ahead and read down through here a ways. In Acts chapter 13, let's pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love you and thank you again for the opportunity to meet together. We thank you for church family. Thank you for healing that you brought church members, Lord. We ask for your continued hand of healing and power and strength on each member. Lord, you know our needs better than we know our own. And Lord, we're just trusting you to meet them. And thank you for taking care of not only needs, but Lord, you are so good to us. You take care of a lot of wants. And Lord, help us to never lose focus of the blesser. You have been so good, and you are such an awesome God, such an awesome blesser, Lord. Help us to take on that characteristic and be able to bless each other the way you, in a way similar to you bless us. And Lord, help us to have a heart for you and your word, a heart for lost souls, a heart to be a blessing and encouragement to each other. Lord, as we see these last days winding down and the chaos going on in the world, help us to have our hearts stayed on you. And Lord, that the chaos wouldn't move our boat one way or the other, Lord. We'd be fixed on you, steady on that rock, Jesus Christ, steady on your word. And Lord, draw us near you today, Lord. Breathe on the message. Give us what we need to get closer to you. Lord, that we would leave here not just today, but every day, every time we meet together, every time we open this book, we'd end up closer to you because of it. Lord, help us to get our minds and our hearts off the things of this world and focused on truth. Lord, there's so many distractions and such a draw out there. And Lord, here we are in this place of refuge today, seeking your face and needing you to show up and breathe on the message and breathe on us. Help us, Lord. Draw us near you, Lord. Bless the message. Help us to live a better life because of it. And it's because of your word, Lord, and we thank you. And we ask this all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, it was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the county, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The first thing I want to see here is the calling of God in verse number 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now we understand there is a general calling of all born-again believers to preach the word to a lost and dying world. But I'm telling you today that just like Jeremiah had a course that was set before his birth for his life, God has a specific plan for every single one of us. No matter what age you are, He has a specific plan for you. He has a specific path for you. He has a specific purpose for you, other than just a general call to preach. He calls some to the jails. He calls some to the nursing homes. He calls some to the street ministry. He calls some to, we have folks that take care of the needs of the church, the carnal things that go wrong, the lights that are on. They're on because God has given a man a ministry. And the things that happen around here behind the scenes, there are different ministries. But God has a purpose and a specific calling for each and every one of us that's specific to you. Most believers don't seek that specific direction from God. They're just happy being saved, knowing that every once in a while they can tell somebody about Jesus. But God has a plan for you. The calling of God. You say, well, what can I do for the Lord? Well, look at verses 3 and 4. It says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed in Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. We see the calling of God. Now we see the empowering of God. They were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. You know what Jeremiah said? Can't speak. I'm just a child. God said, that's not an excuse. He said, I'll fill your mouth. I'll give you the words. I will empower you to do it. What was Moses' excuse? I mean, you look at Jeremiah and you look at Moses, you can find our excuse. Amen. The biggest part of the time is, I can't. And the truth is, you can't. But God can. And God will not call you to do something He will not empower you to do. He will not allow you to be in a situation that you cannot get through to His honor and His glory. I'm not saying that you get through them all to His honor and His glory. I'm saying there's a way to bring Him honor and glory in any situation. God's calling, God's empowering. Look at verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. The purpose of God, the calling of God, the empowering of God, the purpose of God is to preach the word. Now, God called them out of a group of people. That whole group of people had the calling to preach the word of God. Barnabas and Saul, He called to send to a specific person, people, to a specific direction, and He used them to preach the word of God in that direction. But that's the purpose. We talked about this in Sunday school. If you missed Sunday school, I'm going to recap just a little bit of part of it because it's important. Amen. The seed is the word of God. He expects us to plant the seed. We talked about this in Sunday school. We'll hit it again. If you plant your opinion in the ground, it's not going to grow anything. It's the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The parable of the seed and the sower. The seed is the Word of God. We should be planting the seed. There's a track rack out there. That thing should be emptied out now and again. Amen? It's one thing to say you ought to wear a Bible out every 5 to 10 years. You ought to. Amen? You ought to have some frayed edges on your pages. Amen? But I'm afraid you don't, amen, some of you, amen. But you ought to have some frayed edges. You ought to have the binding coming apart. You ought to have a desire to hunt down a new Bible every 8, 9 years because yours is falling apart, amen. But there ought to be a desire to empty that track rack. There ought to be a ministry that somebody's filling here that's just filling that track rack on a regular basis because it just keeps flowing out, amen. Like we talked about earlier, unless everybody you know is saved, and there's no opportunity you're ever going to have a meeting somebody that's lost, you ought to be handing out tracts. Amen. I'm just saying, there are lost people all over the place. There are lost people all over the place that have no idea what the Word of God says. I run into them all the time. I talked to a lady in a parking lot of Walmart the other day, 80 or 74 years old. She's out there smoking like a chimney, telling me she just read through the Bible for the first time, read through the New Testament for the first time, 74 years old. You know what she needs? Some man to guide her, just like the Ethiopian eunuch. She needs somebody to say, hey, look, that's a big book. It's got a lot of stuff in it. Let me show you what God wants you to know first. He wants you to know how to stay out of hell. Amen? Read this. This will tell you how to stay out of hell. You can know. You don't have to guess 1 John 5:13. You don't have to absolutely know all the verses by heart, but you ought to know where they're at. You ought to be able to tell somebody, 1 John 5:13 tell you can know it. Amen? Romans chapter number 3, Romans chapter number 5, Romans chapter number 6, Romans chapter number 10, you get in there and you read that, you can not only know it, you can get it. Amen? You can get it. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you're kept by the Word of God. Amen? You're kept by the power of God. It's the Holy Ghost that keeps you. You don't even have to keep it. Amen? But that track record ought to be empty. It ought to be empty. The calling of God, the empowering of God, the purpose of God. And now in verses 6 and 7, say, well, nobody wants to hear anymore. Look at verse 7. Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. I'll tell you what the devil does, and I'll tell you what he uses. CNN, all the other alphabet things out there, Fox News, to Facebook, Instagram, I don't know what that is. You pour a little milk on it, you got a grandma, I don't know what that is. Instagram, all that stuff. He uses that stuff to discourage you. He uses that stuff to tell you the world is too far gone. And they'll highlight the atheists, they'll highlight the sodomites, they'll highlight all the wickedness. And then they'll make light of the Word of God. And then you get the idea that nobody cares, nobody wants it anymore, nobody believes it. And you know, you'll hear a story or you'll witness to one person and they'll say, well, that's just a book written by man. And the next thing you know, you're starting to believe that there's nobody out there that wants the truth anymore. Well, you know what I found out? That's a lie. That's a lie. If you pray for God to give you an opportunity, He will open that door. If you pray for wisdom to stay out of God's way and let Him use you, He will give you the wisdom to do that. You pray for fruit, guess what you're going to get? It brings honor and glory to God. Guess what you're going to get? Fruit. You're not going to see it all here, but you'll see it one day. You'll get fruit. I was praying here a while back. I try to pray every morning, Lord, give me an opportunity. I was praying here a while back, Lord, give me an opportunity. 9:30 in the morning, phone rings. It's a telemarketer. Got to talk to her about the Lord. Guess what her name is? Grace. A couple days later, the phone rings. Got to witness to Noah. I got to witness to Noah. Amen. You see, God just does stuff like that so you'll know it's Him. I mean, He'll show up and He'll do some mighty things so you know it's Him. You know why He does that? Because He wants to encourage you to do right. Because the devil's trying to discourage. We see the calling of God, the empowering of God, the purpose of God, the seeker of God. Sergius Paulus was looking. He was desiring to hear from the Word of God. You'd be surprised. The young people even, they'll say, what does that say? What does the book say? They don't know. All they know is what they've been told, the biggest part of them. And they haven't been told anything right, anything good. They've been educated out of common sense. They're looking for hope. The last year has definitely guided people toward truth. They're wanting truth. They're wanting some kind of a peace or joy that they never had and they couldn't get the last year, wondering if they were going to live or die, wondering if they were going to go visit their loved ones on some kind of a false lung that were in their last days. They're wondering, they're looking, they're hoping that somebody will give them something that gives them some hope. We've got the answer right here, and there are people looking for truth. Sergius Paulus was. There are more people out there seeking truth than you probably realize. Verse 8, but Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. They had the calling of God, the empowering of God, the purpose of God, the seeker of God. Now we see the enemy of God. You know what he's showing up to do? Seeking to turn away Sergius Paulus from the faith. Sergius Paulus is looking for truth. Somebody comes to give him the truth, and then the devil shows up. And that happens over and over and over and over again. I was in Brussels, Illinois. We were going door to door. There's probably a population of 300, might have been 50 houses over there. And we get to this door, and this little girl comes out. She's probably about 16, 17 years old. And she's standing on the porch right next to the Mary statue. Amen. She's standing right there next to the Mary statue. She's getting witnessed to. The Word of God's working her over. You can see tears starting to well up in her eye. And the door opens, and Grandma reaches out and grabs her by the arm, jerks her back in the house, and says, "We're not talking to them." Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil.
Amen.
You say, "Well, that was just Grandma." No, that was the devil working through Grandma. Matter of fact, the devil goes to her church every week. He runs it. Amen. Our job is to make sure he don't run this one. But Grandma sticks her arm out there and jerks her back. "We don't talk to them." This is a spiritual battle. This is not about you and I. This is about something bigger than you and I could ever wrap our mind around. Prison guard in Illinois. Two guys come forward, 5 minutes left in the service. I mean, we try to shut down early so we can deal with the folks. Trying to wrap that up, get these people to the Lord. They come up, tears welling up, running down their cheeks. The prison guard comes in there, opens the door up, and he stands there with the door open, tapping his foot on the floor, trying to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Half the men in there are looking at the guard and looking at me and looking at the guard. It's the devil. It's the devil. It's a spiritual battle. On the street, people honking and cussing and giving you the unfriendly wave and all that junk they do out there. It's the devil. When you're standing out there with a sign that says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," you think the devil's just going to let that go? Of course not. He's going to show up. So I don't like going out there. So, Jesus Christ probably didn't love going to the Calvary sometimes. He sat in the garden, sweat as it were great drops of blood, knowing that he had to take our sin debt, and all we got to do is walk down the street and hold up a sign? All we got to do is slip a piece of paper in their hand and say, "Hey, God loves you, Jesus Christ died for you. This will explain how to get to heaven." You know what they really like to hear? You don't have to go to church one day in your life to get to heaven. I tell people that all the time. Don't fire me, hear me out. You don't have to go to church one day to get to heaven. You have to go to Jesus Christ. I'm the pastor of Gateway Baptist Church, and I'm telling you, you don't have to go to church. You have to get saved. You should go to church, but you need to get saved. You know what that does to them? That cuts the legs off all the people that are using them for their money and trying to play games with them in religion. It gives them an interest in what's actually in their hand. They got too many people out there trying to get their money. They got too many people out there trying to get their attention and get the "Oh, look at me, look at me." Pharisee A, Pharisee B, pat me on the back. "Well, I'm something special." They have very few people out there saying, "Hey, God loves you. He died for you." I'm not inviting you to church. You're welcome to visit anytime you want, but here I'm inviting you to Jesus Christ. I told you before, his address. Jesus' address. Romans 3.23, Romans 6.23, Romans 10.9, Romans 10.13, John 3.16. He's got an address, amen? Give them their address. Give them the address. Look at this verse again. "But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." Let's just condense it down to what it is. Let's make it real. We are in a battle. The biggest part of the time we spend the battle, we battle against ourselves. The battle is not about us. The battle is over souls. When you hand somebody a tract and they start giving you grief, or a car comes by and revs up their engine, blares their radio, blows that diesel smoke out while you're trying to talk to somebody about the Lord. That's the devil. That devil does not want that person to get saved. He wants them to fry in hell forever. And it's not about you and me. It's a battle for souls. It's a battle for souls. I'm not surprised what goes on anymore. It encourages me to see the opposition half the time. I'm like, good night, we're doing something right. Look at this. Amen? Because we're in a battle. I mean, we get the idea, I think, if we're not careful, that the battle is keeping us out of sin. If you're not praying and reading your Bible and doing what you're supposed to do for the Lord, you're probably going to fight that battle the rest of your life. But there's got to be time when you're witnessing. Get in the real battle. I mean, the devil wants to get you off on these side issues. What you read, what you hear, what you put in your eyes, what you put in your nose, what you put in your mouth, whatever you're doing. Get you fighting that battle the rest of your life so you're not battling over lost souls. But the battle is over lost souls. If he can get you defeated in some other battle, he's not even worried about you winning souls. Amen? The enemy of God, verse 10, Paul, it said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" We see the boldness of God's man. The boldness of God's man. Here he is. Sergius Paulus called for him. And when Sergius Paulus called for Paul, the devil heard that call and showed up with him. You know what I wonder? When somebody calls for you, does it get the devil's attention? It should. If somebody's seeking hope and help from you, it ought to get the devil's attention. Because you ought to be the one that's going to deliver the truth to him. We ought to be the ones that will deliver the truth to him. And he shows up, and you remember, now listen, before you get on this thing about, well, Paul was this great man. Paul was a wicked sinner that got saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, just like you and I did. Matter of fact, Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Yeah, Paul went on and on and on. Paul asked for prayer in Ephesians chapter 6 that he could open his mouth boldly. You know why? Because he went through the exact same struggles you and I go through. He had a pocket full of tracks at Walmart, and he emptied one of them out, felt bad, left, went to the car, and sat out there feeling like a loser because he didn't give the rest of them the Lord told him to give out. Because that's what Paul battled. Oh, what a great man of God. He was a man of God that suffered. He was a man of God that struggled. He's a man of God that sacrificed. And he's a man of God that had some success because he had some boldness. Where did that boldness come from? He believed the Word of God. He had a great education in the Word of God. He could rightly divide. No, that boldness came because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, look, I'm Baptist to the core. But I'm Baptist because I'm saved. I'm not saved because I'm Baptist. And I'm not running from the Holy Spirit of God because of the charismatic group. I'm not doing that. The devil has done a masterful job, if you will, of putting the fire out in the Baptists by focusing the Baptists on what everybody else is doing wrong. Amen. I want to get so far away from what they're doing wrong that we don't have the ability to do right. Hey, if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God in your corner, you are not going to do anything for God. You won't make it. Paul was able to boldly stand against the opposition because he recognized the battle was over a soul. He knew where his strength came from. And he knew what was going to bring him success. In the face of adversity, he just stood up and said, "No, I know who you are. I know what's going on here. It's the devil. And I'm going after this soul God sent me after." Amen. I remember I was at Joshua, I think it was Joshua and I, we were up in Toledo, up downtown Toledo. And we're witnessing, and we're walking down the street, heading out tracks and stuff. And this black kid, about 18 years old, 17, 18 years old, he's walking down the street toward us. And he's about halfway down the street, and he looks at us, put his head down, just cut across the road. He gets over the other side, and he's walking down the road, and I say, "Hey!" He stops. I said, "Come here a minute." I walk across there and met him on the sidewalk. I said, "Lord wants me to tell you something." He's listening to his bebop music, you know. "The Lord wants me to tell you something." Pulls one earplug out. "You're going to die and go to hell if you don't get saved, boy." He's sitting there like a deer in the headlights. "You know you can know for sure you're going to heaven?" "No." There comes the other ear plug out. That boy got saved right there on that sidewalk. God gave me some boldness that day. Normally, in my flesh, I'd say, let him go. He didn't want to hear it. God was after him. God guided that whole thing. That kid got saved right there. I'll never forget. I can't remember his name now. It's been several years back. I'll never forget that moment as long as the Lord gives me memory. That kid bowing his head, shutting his music down, getting gloriously saved right there on the sidewalk. The devil says, he don't want to hear this. Just go on to the next one. As far as I remember, that's the only one that got saved from that point on that day. But he was worth it. Amen? He's worth it to the Lord. Have some boldness. Do you really believe what you believe? I mean, if we really believe what we believe, why would you have to worry about it? I know I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ saved me. I know this is the Word of God. I don't have anything to be afraid of. Paul boldly proclaimed the truth. The calling of God, the empowering of God, the purpose of God, the seeker of God, the enemy of God shows up. The boldness of God's man. Look at verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. We see the victory of God. That young man, that fella got saved. I could have easily, and if I'd had my druthers and out of the will of God, in the flesh, I would have let that kid walk on down the road and he'd have still been headed to hell that night. But God said, no, go out boldly and tell that kid about me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here I'll go. Hey, God wants you to die and go to heaven instead of hell. Amen. Prison in Illinois, I was telling you about that guard, that same guard, a different time. Three guys come forward at the end of the message. They are crying. And they are wanting to get saved. They lined up, single file. We want to get saved. Tell me how to get saved. And I start talking to this first guy, and that same guard opens that door, and he sends there and kicks that door. 5 minutes left on the clock, right? And it's about 3 minutes, I think, that day. We're running out of time. Got three guys that are going to go to hell if they don't know how to get saved. Got a guard sitting there kicking the door. He looks at me, he taps his watch. I said, wait. He turned around, went outside, shut the door against his back and left it open just about 6-8 inches. Led all those three kids to the Lord. You know something? That guard never did that again. He never did that again. You know what I think? I think he heard the Word of God. That guy might be in heaven one day because that's how good God is. But he never did. He treated me like dirt every time I went over there. And he'd do stuff like that every single time. I wasn't over there for him. I was over there for Jesus, amen? But God was after him. Never did it again. Matter of fact, we'd walk from the gate, and he'd tell me about his family and stuff. And I'd talk to him about the Lord. Different guy. Different guy. Amazing stuff the Lord does. Look at verse 9 again. Then Saul, who is called Paul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. We need the power of God. Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is the power of God. And this Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 6:63, is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Our power comes from the Spirit of God. It comes from this book. And it comes from preaching the words of God. We need God's power. We need God's Word. We need God's Spirit in our life, working in us, on us, and through us. It'll give you, what's it do? It gives you a new birth. When you're saved, you got saved because of the Spirit of God. God called you. God dealt with you through His Word, and God saved you. It gave you new birth. It gave you new focus. How many of you woke up every day thinking about the Lord when you were lost? None of you. I don't make it through a day without thinking about the Lord. It's usually, a lot of times, it's guilt thinking I should be doing more for the Lord. I'll just be honest with you, amen. You guys might be more spiritual than I am. But I think all of us have days like that. Amen. It'll give you new focus, give you new habits. New habits, amen. Most people, when they really get blood-bought born again, they quit going to the bar. Amen. They start going to church. They quit going to the world for advice. They start going to the Word of God. Amen. Give you new habits. Prayer, reading your Bible, going to church, fellowshipping with the saints instead of the lost crowd. It'll give you new habits. That's what happens when you're spirit-filled. Amen. You get new habits. Gives you new beginnings. You get that new beginning at the birth. You get out of God's will. You get back in God's will. He gives you a new beginning. Just like he did Jonah. Put Jonah right back on track. Jonah had everything going for him. Jonah goes, preaches. God blesses it. Nineveh gets right. And Jonah, he's right back to his old Jonah self again. Amen. What a mess. Good picture of Baptist. Amen. We get in. We get out. We get right. We get wrong. We get in. Hey, we need the power of God. The power of God gives some things. It gives conviction to confess. The Word of God does that. Conviction to confess. The Word of God, people deal with it two ways. They'll either reject it, rejection or repentance. Say, well, that's the lost world. That's the way saved people deal with it too, amen? They'll either reject the Word of God or they'll repent. Amen, that's what happens. Conviction to confess, strength to stand. Ephesians chapter 6, we talked about that. Stand in it's God's strength. Be strong in the Lord. Power of His might. You get down there about verse 18, that's where Paul's asking for boldness to open his mouth and preach the truth. You know what he's asking? Pray for me to be spirit-filled. We should be praying for each other that way. The power of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, conviction to confess, strength to stand, boldness to boast, to proclaim the truth. It gives you boldness. Now, most Christians don't have boldness to preach because they don't have the Spirit of God. They've run it off. Amen. The Holy Spirit's not welcome. The faith to forge ahead. That's what it'll give you. Abraham going into a new land. Remember that? Abram. We had Moses at the Red Sea, children of Israel. Could you imagine that? They get to the Red Sea. They've just left Egypt. They don't know what's going on. They're just out there trusting Moses and their God. And the next thing you know, that sea, these big walls of water, and just sitting there vibrating, and they're going to go through that Red Sea. It gives them faith to forge ahead. The Spirit of God led them through that. Amen. Gideon, 300 men. Could you imagine that? Thousands of the enemy. He says, hey, take 300 men, get you a lamp, get you a vessel, and put that light in that vessel. I want you guys to spread out around this place, and then when we shout, you just knock at it, you know, hit that vessel, break that thing open. Now, honestly, how many of y'all would say, that sounds like a good plan? But they had the faith to forge ahead, and they went out there and did that, and God gave them victory. The world would have looked, hey, General Patton would have looked at them and said, you're nuts. There's no way that happened. But God's people said, I'm just going to do what God said to do. Joshua and Jericho, could you imagine that scene? 5 days around, 6 days around. Oh, Joshua, why are we doing this? Because God said to. I guarantee you everybody marching didn't have the faith to go around there 7 days. But Joshua did. Joshua said, you hang in there. Seventh day's coming. I got news for you. Hang in there because the seventh day's coming. The shout we're waiting for is not ours. Amen. But they were able to forge ahead. They had the faith to forge ahead because of the Spirit of God. The faith to forge ahead, the power to prosper. That's spiritual riches I'm talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. If you're focused on God's business, you don't even have to worry about yours. He'll take care of yours. Amen. But the power to prosper comes from the Holy Spirit of God. I believe every word in this book, every single one of them. Some of them I believe twice, amen. I believe everything in this book. And there is no Benny Hinn or Joel Osteen or anybody else going to erase the Holy Spirit of God out of my Bible. And I don't want him erased out of my life. And I'm the only one that can do that. Quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Spirit. Power to prosper, laying up eternal rewards. I hope that God dumps out all the blessings and continues to dump out all the blessings that you can handle. That ought to make you nervous, because he's probably going to take some stuff back from some of us. I said that you can handle. But as your pastor, I want to see those eternal rewards on your account. I want you to hear, "Well done, a good and faithful servant." I want you to have something to lay back at his feet and to praise his name about. So you're worthy of so much more. This is all I've got, but this is what I'm going to give you. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You cannot be a carnal believer and a Spirit-filled believer at the same time. You cannot do it. If you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're rejecting the power of God. It's that simple. So I'm not down at the booze house or the whore house or the crack house. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you're focused on yourself instead of the Savior all the time, you're running off the power of God. Amen. I can tell right now it's going to be a smaller group next Sunday. Amen. I love you, and I don't want you to go up to heaven empty-handed. I want you to be able to lay something at Jesus' feet. And I don't want to answer for lying to you. I want to tell you the truth. You want to be a good husband? You need the power of God. If you're a woman, you want to be a good husband, you need to get saved. Amen. If you want to be a good wife, you need the power of God. Amen. You want to be a good mom? You need the power of God. You want to be a good dad? You need the power of God. You want to be a good friend? You need the power of God. You want to be a good church member? Okay, here's where it gets selfish for me. I want you all to be good church members. Amen. You need the power of God. If Gateway Baptist Church is going to prosper spiritually, I'm not talking about the bank account. I'm talking about an eternal account. We need the power of God. You know, a Spirit-filled believer, a saved person filled with the Holy Ghost of God, can get more done for the cause of Christ than 1,000 Bible teachers without the Spirit of God. Than 1,000 preachers without the Spirit of God. How are you doing? How are you doing? What are you laying up eternally? Or are you just putting everything in a carnal basket, waiting for the last minute to maybe try to do something for Jesus Christ? We need the power of God. I was over there at Meyer the other day, and I don't understand all those windmills. And, I mean, solar panel makes a little bit of sense because it's the sun, and the sun's where we get our power, amen? The other sun, the real sun. But all these electric everything, electric cars, they got those giant toasters they drove around now, those Teslas or whatever, Toslas, whatever they are. They got to go up to that charging station, they plug that thing in, and they get that thing recharged so they can keep on going down the road. You know why a lot of Baptists don't go down the road? Because they never hook up to the charging station. They don't. Hey, you know what could be a good charging station today? An old-fashioned altar. Amen. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I haven't been doing that much for you. I got caught up in me. I need you. I need your power. I've got people I'm praying for that I want to be a good witness to. I want to have a good testimony. I just need your power. I need to be spirit-filled. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute.